I've endured struggling and thuggery, sir. Physical ed and psychosis, scullery's skulls and skullduggery, sir. Haplessness, hype, and hypnosis. But oy vey, the horrible din when you play the violin. You betray any made of tin when you play, when you slay the violin.
Chapter 11. If you've ever dressed up for Halloween or attended a masquerade, you know that there is a certain thrill to wearing a disguise, a thrill that is half excitement and half danger. I once attended one of the famed masked balls hosted by the Duchess of Winnipeg, and it was one of the most exciting and dangerous evenings of my life. I was disguised as a bullfighter and slipped into the party while being pursued by the palace guards, who were disguised as scorpions. The moment I entered the grand ballroom, I felt as if Lemony Snicket had disappeared. I was wearing clothes I had never worn before, a scarlet cape made of silk, and a vest embroidered with gold thread, and a skinny black mask, and it made me feel as if I were a different person. And because I felt like a different person, I dared to approach a woman I had been forbidden to approach for the rest of my life. She was alone on the veranda. The word veranda is a fancy term for a porch made of polished gray marble, and costumed as a dragonfly, with a glittering green mask and enormous silvery wings. As my pursuers scurried around the party, trying to guess which guest was me, I slipped out to the veranda and gave her the message I'd been trying to give her for 15 long and lonely years. "Beatrice," I cried, just as the scorpion spotted me, "Count Olaf is..." I cannot go on. It makes me weep to think of that evening and of the dark and desperate times that followed. And in the meantime, I'm sure you are curious what happened to the Baudelaire orphans and the Quagmire triplets after dinner that evening at Prufrock Prep. "This is sort of exciting," Duncan said, putting Klaus's glasses on his face. "I know that we're doing this for serious reasons, but I'm excited anyway." Isadora recited, tying Violet's ribbon in her hair. "It may not be particularly wise, but it's a thrill to be disguised." "That's not a perfect poem, but it will have to do under the circumstances. How do we look?" The Baudelaire orphans took a step back and regarded the Quagmires carefully. It was just after dinner, and the children were standing outside the orphan shack, hurriedly putting their risky plan into action. They had managed to sneak into the cafeteria and steal a sunny-sized bag of flour from the kitchen, while the metal-masked cafeteria workers' backs were turned. Violet had also snitched a fork, a few teaspoons of creamed spinach, and a small potato, all of which she needed for her invention. Now they had just a few moments before the Baudelaires, or, in this case, the Quagmires in disguise, had to show up for S-O-R-E. Duncan and Isadora handed over their notebooks so the Baudelaires could study for their comprehensive exams, and switched shoes so the Quagmires' laps would sound exactly like the Baudelaires. Now, with only seconds to spare, the Baudelaires looked over the Quagmires' disguise and realized instantly just how risky this plan was.